mean, what else? I mean, what else can you want? Greater is He that is in me than He is in the world. That's awesome.
Yes.
Y'all get excited this morning.
Amen.
That's right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, right there. Everybody sing that. Lead it, Melanie. Everybody sing this together this morning.
My chains are gone.
Every verse in this chapter I'm reading this morning, just so you know, is out of the Amplified Version, okay? So it won't match exactly your King James. It's out of the Amplified Version. I love how the Amplified breaks this passage down in 1 Corinthians. We're going, as God's children, we are going to live forever. This seed does not die. Our flesh grows older, and this outer shell will give way one day. But the seed that's inside goes on and lives forever. And I want to encourage you this morning with this beautiful message of how this seed goes on, because we see death every day. We hear about death every day. We hear about tragedy every day. We hear about bankruptcies, homelessness, all the stuff, you know, with this world, how it's so negative and so dark. But I'm here to encourage you that this is not where we stay, and this is not our end result. But we live forever. So let's get into this in chapter 15. This is, of course, the Apostle Paul. And he's talking about the resurrection of the dead. And that's why these songs were picked this morning, to tie up the message of resurrection power. Aren't you glad that you're not going to always look like you look today? I mean, man, one day we're going to be beautiful. All of you already are. We're going to be beautiful one day. We're going to be perfectly redeemed in Christ again. I'm glad that this is not our final stage, that is for sure. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to start with verse 35. Once again, this is the Amplified Version, okay? Be on the screen. But someone will say, how can the dead be raised? With what kind of body will they come forth? Isn't that the question that we've had all of our lives? One of the main questions. What will I look like? Will Nate's resurrected body look like he does now? Liz is saying, I hope not. Please, oh Jesus, give him something better the second time around. What kind of body? Because that's the thing. There's questions about, you know, well, if I'm cremated at death, there's no body for God to use. You know, or if someone gets burnt in a fire, or someone gets really mangled up, or what if they're, and we got to get out of this natural thinking, don't we? God don't need this. In front of you, He don't need this to make that. Amen. He breathes life on the seed, and the seed becomes what He wants it to become. I was thinking about an oak tree, and I wish I had an image. I was going to pull one up, but you know what a little oak nut looks like? A little oak nut seed. It's about, yeah, acorn. Yeah. I like the way I say it better. Oak nut seed. Anyway. I got a North Idaho education, y'all. An acorn. All right. Acorn's 3 or 4 centimeters wide, or 2 or 3 centimeters wide, 3 or 4, you know, long, whatever at the most. So I looked at the picture this morning of a little acorn seed. That little acorn, if you plant it in the ground, can develop into a 40 or 50 foot majestic, beautiful tree with branches that go everywhere out that bears fruit, and that is a house for birds and all kinds of creation. This little seed. Now, when you see a beautiful oak tree, you're going up through North Iredale and you're going on one of them country windy roads, and you get a glimpse of this big old oak tree. You don't see the seed it came from. You just see the result of what the seed produced. So you see the beauty of the tree, but it started out a little seed that was buried in the ground, and the oak tree looks nothing like the seed that was planted. You're not going to look like you are now. God's got something wonderfully planned for you to look like. You're going to look nothing like you look now. You're a brand new creation in Christ. Brand new. So he says, what body will they come with? People are asking the question. He says, you foolish man, every time you plant a seed, you sow something that does not come to life, germinating, springing up and growing, unless it first dies. You want some good old watermelon? How many of you like the striped watermelons? Got any striped watermelon people in here? What about the solid green ones? You like those better? Different kinds, right? How can nobody not like watermelon? Y'all weird. Watermelon seed has to be planted in the ground. Little tiny seed. And when that watermelon begins to bloom on the vine and gets bigger and bigger and longer, and you pick that watermelon, the watermelon looks nothing like the seed you planted. But you have to first bury it. You first cover it up. You first put it in the ground to get the result. This flesh has to lay down before the resurrection can take place. This shell has to die before the new life and the new man can come forth. We must be buried spiritually, so to speak, in order for the resurrected power to make us appear how God wants us to appear. It's part of the process. Seed and harvest. This is the seed. And thank God the resurrection is the harvest. Jesus himself was buried in a tomb for 3 days, hidden in darkness behind a sealed rock. And in that darkness, something was happening. Something was germinating. Something was springing up. Something was happening supernatural. In that dark tomb, as he was laid down and his body gave up the ghost and that flesh was buried, he came out in a resurrected power. He came out looking different than he went in. He came in, he came out with eternal life to never perish again. He was buried with that perishable flesh for our sins, and he was raised with an imperishable flesh, an imperishable life for our justification. Hallelujah. This seed lives, church. It lives. And nothing can't stop it. The government can't stop it. The vaccine can't stop it. Sickness can't stop it. A president can't stop it. Nothing can stop it. This seed will come forth. The ground can't stop the birth of the seed God has waiting on you. Resurrection power, hallelujah. It's on the way. We look too much at death as being how long we live on earth. We look too much at life as of how we physically are in this world, not understanding that we are a walking seed is all that we are. We're a walking seed. And until our burial, so to speak, either way, whether it's in the ground or whether it's Jesus comes, until that transition moment, we walk as a seed. We look like a seed. We talk like a seed. But praise God, the harvest is coming, and the seed will give way to the harvest God has planned for us. And we won't look like we look now. Hallelujah. Totally different. Verse 37. Nor is the seed that you sow, then the body, which is going to have later, but is a naked kernel, perhaps of wheat, or some of the rest of the grains. Nor is the seed that you sow, then the body, which is going to have later, is just a naked kernel. That's all we are right now. But look at verse 38. But God gives it the body that he plans and sees fit, and to each kind of seed a body of its own. Hallelujah! Church, we're not going to be like the walking dead zombies looking for brains, that we all look the same. Nate may be an oak tree because he looks oaky. All right? Liz may be a sunflower. Stacy may be a tornado. We all going to have a different reflection, right? Think about nature. We'll get to a minute. Every seed produces something different. And think about how seeds, if you plant seeds in a garden, a lot of them look, a pack of seeds, a pack of seeds, right? They all are similar. They're a pack of seeds. But boy, a watermelon and a corn cob look nothing alike. A cantaloupe and green beans look nothing alike. They all came from a packet of seeds, but nature gave it its own body as it saw fit. We are going to have an individualized, restored, redeemed body and spirit as God sees fit. He is the craftsman. He is the creator. He is the giver of life. And he gives each person what he sees fit to have as this seed is buried. Look at verse. It goes on to give some examples in verse 39. For all flesh is not the same. There is one kind for humans, another for beasts, another for birds, another for fish. All these different creations God gives, right? And they all look so different. And then you want to get even dissect that. How many different fish are there? Different beasts are there? Different birds are there? Different colors, different sizes, different beaks, different claws, different, you know, the tuna is flat. Isn't that cool? I mean, you look at it this way, you can't see it. I mean, it's flat. So cool. Then you got the big old catfish, I was going to say the big mouth bass. The big mouth bass and the catfish and the tuna, and you got all this different, everything's different. God has created everything according to how he wants it created. And that seed that he planted in here goes on far after this flesh falls apart, according to the word of God. There are heavenly bodies, the sun, the moon, the stars. There are earthly bodies, men, animals, plants. But the beauty and the glory of heavenly bodies is one kind, and the beauty and the glory of earthly bodies is a different kind. The sun is glorious in one way, and the moon is glorious in another. Think about this. You know, you're at the beach, and the beach has beautiful sunrises, right? Beautiful sunsets. So you can watch the sunset at the beach fall. Beautiful. And then a few hours later, you take a moonlit walk with your girlfriend, with your wife. You take a moonlit walk, and all of a sudden, you saw the sun a few minutes ago, which is beautiful, that orange, pink, red sky, just beautiful. But then it's a different beauty at night, with the moon above the ocean. You know, you feel like singing a Pocahontas song. Over the river bend, just around the river bend. You know, it's amazing that both are beautiful in their own way. And they're distinctively equally beautiful. I mean, really, if you had to choose, do you want to sit here and watch a sunset, or do you want to walk by moonlight? Depends on what kind of mood you're in with your spouse, I guess. But it'd be a hard choice, because the moon is beautiful, reflecting on the water, the sun's beautiful. Two different glories, two different ways, both God gave them that beauty, just like he gives us our beauty. We're not going to all be the same. We're going to be different. You know, the Bible says that we'll be known as we're known, but it doesn't mean that, you know, Nate's going to look like Nate, where I want to go up to him, and, oh, there's Nate, got the gray, excuse me, the, okay, yeah, he dyed his goatee gray. The gray goatee and the green sweater and the hair. No, we won't know each other by how we look here. We'll know each other by the seed that we are. That we are. You know, Melanie can always tell if we're not in a store, she can hear me walking. She knows it's my footsteps. We're going to be in a crowded, you know, wherever, store. And she'll turn around and say, I knew that was you. I could tell by your footsteps. She knows my feet steps. Ain't that sweet? She recognizes that. Mr. Hopalong is what she calls me. But she knows my feet steps. You know, she don't have to see me know that's me. She don't turn around and say, man, that's my man. No, she don't have to say that. She can go back to me and say, oh, that's my man. I hear his footsteps. Without even seeing me, because she knows me. We will know each other. We will know God. God knows us by the seed that is in here. Not by our flesh, by our seed. Verse 41. The sun is glorious in one way, the moon another, and the stars are glorious in their own distinctive way. For one star differs from and surpasses another in its beauty and its brilliance. You know, there's a couple of things we've heard scientists say, right? No two stars are alike, with all the stars, right? And no two snowflakes are alike. That's amazing to me. Think about a winter in Minnesota, how much it snows up there, and no two snowflakes are alike. I mean, if God took that much detail in a snowflake, took that much detail in a star, and for those that are watching or listening and thinking, well, you know, snowflakes are a formation of evaporation of cold air that forms the God of God. No, God is still the creator of all that. If you don't believe me, come to Bill's class. He'll tell you that. Because it's our Father who's in heaven. And he is on the throne. And there's nothing that doesn't happen that he's not in control over. And we have these stars that are all different and distinctive, just like we are different and distinctive. and that our lights will shine bright when our time comes, and that resurrection power is made manifest when this seed is finally buried once and for all. We don't stay buried, and we don't stay dead. It is the step and the process into our resurrected state where this seed goes on. Sun, moon, stars, animals, birds, all different, got their own bodies as God sees fit. Verse 42, so it is with the resurrection of the dead. This body that is sown imperishable and decays, but the body that is resurrected is imperishable, immune to decay, immortal. We all know we are perishable in the state that we're in. We know that. No matter how good, you know, you may run into a classmate, you know, you're 75 years old, and you're like, you know, Roger may run into classmates, and they tell Roger, man, you look good. You know, you've aged well. The key quote was, he's aged. He's aged. None of us, no matter what we think, you can take all the selfies you want, the camera don't lie. None of us look like we did in high school, unless you're still in high school. Abby's in high school, so she looks like high school. Rodney's kids, y'all are high school. Nobody else does. When they tell y'all, you know, you're in the people, you know, man, you look the same.
Liar, liar.
You don't look no same. I saw a picture of Sherman on Facebook from 20 years ago. Is it 20 years ago, the picture?
Well,
15 years ago? Y'all seen that guy's hair. Died. Oh, my battery's died. I was like, look at that hair, man. Oh, we change, right? We're perishable. We age. We don't look the same as we did. Some of us look better maybe than others, but we all are going that route. There were folks in my high school reunion, the last one me and Bill went to last year, last October, and there were several I didn't know who they were. You know, we had name tags. And what would feel good is when they come to me. Of course, I had a name tag too, I guess. I got to think about that later. Hey, James. I'm like, hey, man, what's up? Good to see you. Good to see you too. And I'm telling Bill, I went to Bill, who is that? I don't know who it is. It's amazing. We change, okay? We age. We look at pictures from 20 years ago, and we're like, man, we were just kids. Look at me and Melanie's wedding pictures. It's on my profile on Facebook. I was 20 years old. She was 18. Ashley and Nick's age. We were Ashley and Nick's age, basically, in that picture. We don't look 20 and 18 no more. Well, Melly does. But I don't. We are in a perishable state right now. The seed is in a perishable state, or this flesh is in a perishable state. But the new body that God gives, when it's resurrected, will be imperishable. It will be undecayable. It will be immortal. That means everlasting life. That means no more death, no more sickness, no more damage, no more aging, no more pain, no more progression, no more destruction, nothing. Doesn't matter how long we live, at some point we start looking like we've lived a little while. That's all there is to it. We just look like we've lived a little while. I was at McDonald's about 5 years ago. I was only 43 or 44 at the time, and this little teenage cashier's ringing me up. She looked at me. I ordered my breakfast. She goes, is that a senior discount? Girl, hold my earrings. Senior? Do I look like my dad? No offense, my dad is a senior. You know what my dad says? Wouldn't it bother me? I took the 10%. I got too much pride for that. She could offer it to me free. I'd have said, no, I ain't no senior. It's pride, girl. If somebody said to you, you would have took it, you would have been offended. Well, you're asking the wrong person there. Anyway, no matter how long we live, we're going. And see, of course, I don't think I got no senior citizen. Apparently, she did. You know, 16-year-old, 17-year-old cashier. I'm like, are you serious? Senior? 20 years from that. Well, not 20 at that time, but, you know. Anyway. The body that God's going to give us, imperishable, immortal. Look at verse 43. It is sown in dishonor and humiliation, but it's raised in honor and glory. Think about planting a seed in your garden about being, you know, kind of what the Bible says here, in it's sown in humiliation. You're taking the seed and you're burying it in the mud, aren't you? You're burying it in the ground and you're covering it up. Not real honorable thing. But man, what that began to produce is that seed germinates and comes alive and pushes through the dirt and becomes what it was called to become. We are called to become the sons and daughters of God. We're called to become that. And right now, we're a walking seed. But once that seed is planted, the next beautiful thing comes, the body and the resurrected power of our Savior, giving to each of us what he sees fit for us to walk into. See, I don't believe that we all see the same thing when we cross the other side. I think God has something different for all of us planned. I don't think we all, you see jokes where everybody goes, this one gate, of course, there's Peter, and everybody goes, I don't think we all see the same thing when we cross into glory. I think God has prepared something beautiful for each one of us to behold. He's giving each one of us our own individual paradise, whatever that is. He's individualized our heavenly plan, right? He's individualized it. Because God knows my desires or what I would want to see. He knows your desires or what you want to see. He knows everything about you. So he customized a plan just for Nate to walk into heaven. And here's what he begins to walk into. Or here's his life in the kingdom. We're not going to all have the same life in the kingdom either. It's going to be individualized as God sees fit. Verse 43, still 43, it's raised in honor and glory. It is sown in infirmity and weakness. It's resurrected in strength and endued with power. You look at little Connor, bless his heart, 13 years old, fighting kidney failure. It's a little child. His body, for whatever reason right now, is in a moment of weakness and infirmity. But the next step for our lives will not be that way. There'll be no infirmity. There'll be no weakness. We'll be endued with power and with strength and with everlasting life. Death is the last enemy conquered. And that's what Jesus came to die for. He conquered death and the grave for us. He conquered it. Faith in Christ and what he did alone gives us that entrance into this kingdom world to know it doesn't stop here. When people die, I know many of us probably think this question. Were they ready to be with Jesus? Where was their life at? Did they believe? Because now it's over for them. It's not over for us. It's only beginning for us. When this life ends, it's only beginning for us. My Aunt Lois, who is 80 years old, who's bedfast right now at home, don't know how much longer she'll be here on this earth as we know her. But there is no doubt that when that seed in Mooresville gives up the ghost, she will be endued with power and strength and everlasting life. And she will look nothing like she does now in her weakened, frail state. But she will be resurrected by the hand of God. The seed must first be planted before the harvest can come. Our seed must be planted before the harvest can come. Being planted is nothing weird or unusual or wrong. Being planted is the process of life that God chose to get us from here to there. As this seed dies, our harvest is made alive. As this seed dies, we give way to a brand new creation. As this seed dies, we are resurrected into the image that God has planned for us all along. So do not discourage your seed dying. Embrace the harvest coming. So powerful. Verse 44. It is sown, our seed is sown in a natural physical body. It is raised a supernatural spiritual body. As surely as there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. As sure as there is this body that's broken and weak and perishable, there is a body that is strong and empowered and lives forever. As surely as there's this, hallelujah, there is that. God tells us that. We believe what we see in the mirror because that's where we're at now. If the watermelon seed had any kind of thought process, I'm sure it would wonder, why are you burying me in the ground? Why are you putting me in the dirt? What's to become of me? I'm just a seed in the dirt. But then something happens. He wakes up one morning. I got arms. Woo! And then another day, I see the daylight. I see the sky. What's happening? This is our life. All we see in the mirror is our wrinkles and our dyed gray goatee and our recessive hairline and our belly and our weak knees. And by the way, I learned this fact. It has nothing to do with anything today, I promise. It's hit my head. I read this fact. Actually, Nick's mom shared it. For every pound of weight you lose, you reduce 4 pounds off your knees. Isn't that amazing? And 6 pounds off your hips. For every pound of weight you lose, you reduce your weight of your knees by 4 pounds. Pretty interesting, though. So if you lose 5 pounds, you've lost 20 pounds off the pressure of your knees. Has nothing to do with nothing this morning, y'all. I just want to tell you that. I don't know why. It just hit me. I don't know. I was talking about something. Anyway. This is why the denominated churches would never have me. All right, 45. It is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, an individual personality, and the last Adam, Christ, became a life-giving spirit, restoring the dead to life. Hallelujah. He returned us back to the garden, church. But it is not the spiritual life which comes first, but the physical and then the spiritual. So we go through this process of physical life. We go through this process of seeing ourselves age and grow older. And I know life is so sad. And I know people that endure pain every day of their life. We've got people in this church body that I talk to that have daily pain every day. Back pain, you know, joint pain, some kind of pain every single day. And that's a horrible life to live in pain every single day. But this pain will give way to the harvest God has planned. Do not desire to shorten your life. Your seed will germinate in the exact right timing God has planned for it. For I know the days of all your life, I've got them numbered. I know you're going out and you're coming in. Every hair on your head, I know you. I formed your mother's womb. I called you by name. I wrought you in the inward parts of darkness. I created you. And so we live this journey and we live this life, sometimes with pain and discouragement and tragedy. So much tragedy, so much pain. Working, you know, at the funeral business like I do, I see it all the time. So much tragedy and so much pain that people are carrying. Parents bearing children, brothers and sisters bearing siblings, children bearing mom and dad, pain and heartache and grief. Many of you have been through some traumatic storms in your life, but as you go through these storms, understand your seed that's in you, though it right now looks bad and there's very dark days, there's a harvest coming to where this seed will push out of the dirt called life and will manifest itself in the kingdom of God. That's our hope, and that's what we stay focused on. That's why Paul said in one place, he says, you know, I press toward the mark of the prize, the high calling of Christ. I press toward it. You know, I'm surrounded, but I'm not destroyed. You know, I'm not forsaken. You know, I'm attacked, but everything is good. I'm pressing toward the mark. I'm keeping my eyes on the final prize. 2 Timothy 4, when he's in prison writing his last letter, he says, my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Now is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. See, the harvest is worth all the seed going through of life that we face. The harvest is worth the pain. The harvest is worth the sickness. The harvest is worth the tragedy. Because in the end, when our few short years of our seed on the earth is gone, then the harvest will last forever. It will have no time or no measurement. It will be on and on and on, forevermore glorified, forevermore restored, forevermore healed, forevermore sanctified, forevermore glorified. And nothing can reverse it, and nothing can interrupt it, and nothing can stop it, because this seed lives forever. Hallelujah. Your seed will live forever. forever. And the devil can't stop it. The devil can't blow it out. The devil can't change. The devil can't reverse your course. The devil can't do a thing about it. The seed of God has been planted inside of you, and that seed is there to remain. 1 John tells us that the seed of God remaineth in his people. It remains there. And one day, we'll see the beautiful harvest God has prepared for us. Verse 47. The first man was from out of the earth, made of dust, earthly minded. The second man is the Lord from out of heaven. Now those who are made of the dust are like him who was first made, dust, earthly minded. And he is the man from heaven, so also are those who are heavenly minded. And just as we have borne, this 49 ought to make you shout. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, so shall we. And so let us bear the image of the man of heaven. Just as you born this, you're going to bear that. And God is saying, I'm telling you, just as much as you're flesh and blood, you will be a restored vessel of God in the kingdom forevermore. Just as much as you see yourself in the mirror as this, you're going to be what I've called you to be. I promise you, it's not a hope, it's not a maybe, it's not a hope so, it is going to happen. Just as we bore that. So we have hope as Christians. We have hope. How people don't believe in anything blows my mind. How people are agnostic and just don't believe in anything. I mean, just don't have any understanding that there's something beyond this. Planting a seed teaches us there's more than just the seed. There's a harvest from that seed. Everything that we plant, even a child coming forth starts from a seed, right? A seed formed my three children. A seed came forth and produced a living soul. In the seed itself, there's no beauty, but the harvest it brings is where the beauty is at. And our seed, the seed of Christ inside of us, will produce a son and a daughter of God. And we will look like the seed that was planted. We will look like our Heavenly Father. We will act like our Heavenly Father. We will reflect the image of the one who planted the seed inside of us, because a seed bears after its own kind. The book of Genesis tells us that. Every seed bears after its own kind. If I'm a seed of God, I'll bear the image of God. Hallelujah. We're going to bear his image. This seed goes on no matter what happens. My grandpa was 80 years old, or 79 technically, I think, when he passed. He turned 80. We buried him on his 80th birthday, I believe. And lay in a hospital bed, though his flesh gave way on this earth, and he left us, the ones that love him. That seed in that hospital bed that was his flesh gave way to a resurrected, glorified body. No telling what he's experiencing or what he is walking in right now, but death will have him no more. Struggle and pain have him no more. Problems of this world are no longer his concern. He has gone on and beyond all of this. It's like the parable I read about the water bug. Remember that a couple months ago? What a powerful story, the water bug. In the mud, the bottom of the lake, you know, muddling around, and every once in a while, one of these bugs would fly out and never come back. And they were like, well, where's George going? George didn't come back, you know. Where'd Frank go? They're not coming back. And the water bug said, I'll make a promise. One day when I leave, I'll come back and take what's on the other side. Well, of course, he couldn't. The water bug eventually found his way up out of the water, took off, flew around, saw where he came from, tried to go back to tell others. But when he hit the water, he bounced off and realized he couldn't go back where he came from. So Grandpa can't come back from where he came from. He's already evolved into the final stage of God's glory. He wouldn't want to come back. Nobody was with God. Nobody want to come back. I use the example a lot. We're in a cocoon stage right now as humans. We're in a cocoon stage. And then one day, we'll be the butterfly. One day, think about this. I mean, I know if you look close, you kind of see the body. But when you see a butterfly, I don't think of a worm. I don't think of a worm. I think of a butterfly. But you know what it is? It's a worm with wings. It's a worm with wings. But what happens in that cocoon is amazing. It's the process of life. This little worm, icky, bicky worm, you know, goes into a cocoon and covers itself up and is protected from the world. But inside this darkness of this cocoon, something amazing is happening. There's a transformation going on. In the darkness of this shell, when it's time and the trumpet sounds, the cocoon burst open, and out of that darkness comes a brand new creation full of color, full of beauty, and full of life that will never be in a cocoon or darkness again. Hallelujah. And that is us. We're in a cocoon, but something is happening in our 50, 60, 80 years of this world. We're in a cocoon, we're in a dark time, but when the trumpet sounds, when our name is called, something happens. The cocoon that we're born into gives way to the life that God has given us. Hallelujah. That's our hope as Christians. That's our hope. The seed lives forever. So I don't worry about 2020. I don't worry about all this stuff. Church, I am so, not that I don't care, I am compassionate, I care, and I love people, but I am so not of this world mindset right now. I'm just not of it. I'm living my life for the Lord. I'm trusting our Father, which is in heaven, with all of my needs. I'm trusting Him with my family. I'm trusting Him with this church. I'm trusting Him with my future. I'm trusting Him. If I stop trusting God when it gets hard, it's no faith whatsoever. Walking in faith means I believe You, God, no matter what I see, no matter what they tell me, no matter what I hear, I'm trusting You beyond that and beyond that, and I'm going to keep on keeping on going and following You through it all, Lord, regardless. I wasn't created to walk in fear. I serve a God who parted the Red Sea. I serve a God who closed the mouths of the lion. I serve a God who raised the dead more than once. I serve a God who walks on water and feeds the 5,000. I serve a God who can touch anything and it changes everything. That's who I serve. So who shall I fear? If God is for me, who shall be against me? Hallelujah. This seed lives forever, no matter what happens. Cancer can't kill it. COVID can't kill it. Bankruptcy can't kill it. Divorce can't kill it. Even death can't kill it. I am resurrected power in Him. Hallelujah. That's who I trust. That's who I trust. This seed, man, lives forever. We've got to get our eyes off of this flesh and concentrate on the seed that's inside, on the birth that God is waiting to create in us. And when that time comes, we celebrate. That's why many folks call funeral services a celebration of life, right? I like that. Celebration of life. We are celebrating the life of who, where they are at. There's a great clip Don Childers shared with me, and you might have seen it. It's a black funeral service, and they're coming up. The guy comes up with a trumpet. And he's come up the aisle playing that trumpet to the tune of, what is that song? It's a church song. But anyway, they're coming up playing this song, and they're coming up the aisle, and it's upbeat, it's uplifting. People are praising God. I mean, they are putting someone they love to rest, but they are celebrating the life. You know what they're celebrating? Hallelujah, He's attained the harvest. It's harvest time. It's harvest time. Seed time's over. It's harvest time. Planting time's over. It's reaping time. It's time to celebrate that which God has done in them. It's time to celebrate the goodness of the Lord. For the cross was all about this moment of celebrating their King and walking in. Yes, Lord, I see You. Yes, Lord, I hear You. Yes, Lord, I feel You. Hallelujah. It's a celebration time. That's why we celebrate. We don't mourn the death of a saint. We celebrate the harvest of their resurrection. Hallelujah. They're home with You, Jesus. They made it. They finished. They crossed over. They're in Your presence. We give You glory for that. They're not sick no more. They're not got dementia no more. They're not broken no more. They're not scarred no more. God, they are forever been free. My chains are gone. Hallelujah. And I've been set free. That's the life we have in Christ, because this seed lives forever. Glory. Let's wrap this up here. It says in verse 50, I tell you, brother, flesh and blood cannot become partakers of eternal salvation or inherit or share in the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable, that which is decaying, inherit or share the imperishable or the immortal. This flesh can't receive the harvest. Something has happened to this flesh. Take notice, I tell you, a mystery, a secret truth, an event decreed by the hidden purpose and the course of God. We shall not all fall asleep in death, but we shall all be changed, transformed. Hallelujah. We are all not going to fall asleep in death, but we all will be changed. Whether we die in the natural or whether we are translated by the hand of God, we are going to be transformed. We're going to be changed. For this perishable, verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trumpet call, for a trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised, imperishable, free and immune from decay, and we shall all be changed and transformed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, when God calls our name, we are going to be changed because the seed goes on. Though our flesh may fail, the seed goes on. Me and Mary went to a service Wednesday for some dear friends of ours who had to bury their son, and the wife's at the casket talking to him, and she said these words out loud. She goes, "Honey, I know you're not here no more. I know you're not in there right now, but this is where I'm going to have to come talk to you. But I know you're not in here right now." Oh, no. No, his seed has been planted, but his harvest has been granted. Hallelujah. He is no longer in that shell of this mortal. But now he is imperishable, undecayable, and forever. That's what we celebrate. Though we are mourning, and though we are grieving, and though loss is hard. You know, I've not had to bury one of my parents. I've not had to bury a child. I've not had to bury, you know, I guess my grandpa was the closest one I've lost. And I've not had that moment of understanding that moment. I know that the loss is great. And I know my dad will grieve and he'll shed tears when his sister goes to see Jesus. But those tears should quickly be turned to tears of joy for where she is at and what she's experiencing. And God, this is the whole goal, right? This is the whole purpose, is to see you. The whole purpose is to get to the finish line. The whole purpose is to cross into glory. The whole purpose is to see the end result. Because this journey of life sometimes just stinks. But thank God the journey don't end here. God's got an end place for us much better than here. Verse 54, when this perishable puts on imperishable, and this that's capable of dying puts on freedom from death, then shall be fulfilled. Look at that, freedom from death. When this perishable puts on freedom from death, this saying will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up, utterly vanquished forever in and unto victory. Bye-bye, death. Yeah. Bye-bye, cancer. Bye-bye, dementia. Bye-bye, bad bones, bad blood. Bye-bye, all that. It's gone. It's swallowed up completely in the victory that's in Christ Jesus. When he came out of the tomb that third day, he conquered death for us. He was the first fruits of them which raised from the dead. And we are the ones to follow that pattern. We too are raised from our death and our decay into a glorious immortal state by the hand of God. We have victory. That's why that song, Victory in Jesus, is a good song. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He bought me, sought me with his precious blood. Victory in Jesus. Now, oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? Now, sin is the sting of death. We know this, that sin brings death. And sin exercises its power upon the soul through the abuse of the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory, making us conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a conqueror because of Jesus. The law said I deserved to die, but grace says I'm going to cause you to live. The law says you fell short and you broke the law, but grace says I fulfill the law. I took it for you so you wouldn't be charged. I'm not charging you with what you deserve. I'm setting you free from what I'm giving you. Grace. That's why it's amazing grace. How sweet the sound. That grace finds us in whatever moment we are in. Grace finds us in our darkest times. Grace finds us when we're in our deep depths of sin. Grace finds us in our rebellion. Grace finds us when we're running from God. Grace gets a hold of us and reminds us, my grace is greater than your sin. I'm so thankful for that. This seed will live forever if your faith is in Christ. If your faith is in Jesus, that what he did for you is gave you the chance to always be with him forevermore, then this world has nothing to keep you down about. Why worry what happens? Why worry? There's so much fear right now with people, so much fear. And church, I don't want to go nowhere yet. I'm still fairly young. I got things I want to do, and I don't want to leave my wife and my kids and my parents and Nancy Rose. I don't want to leave y'all. You know, Nancy Rose needs me. She needs me bad. Boy, she told me this morning she needed me last night. Anyway. I don't want to go nowhere. But you know what? I'm not afraid. How can I live my life in fear when I know what my future holds? Jesus, the sooner I leave, the sooner I see you. That's the way I look at it. The sooner I see you. I'm not in a hurry to get there, but I feel like I'm ready to get there if he calls my name. I want him to call my name. Like Bill says, you know, let your kingdom come and, you know, your will be done. Well, it's the Lord. I don't want to come now. Your will be done, but I really hope your will is not to call me right now. You know? This seed, church, lives forever. Let's pray this morning. Father, as this word has come forth, I pray this word will be an encouragement to the ears that heard it, that they will turn their eyes and their attention to you and the future of what you prepared for them. God, I pray against fear, and I pray against doubt this morning in the people's hearts, that maybe they doubt, is there anything really beyond this? We read scripture, many scripture this morning, to confirm, God, to confirm that there is something beyond this. Confirm that there is a resurrection, that there is a future. There's a different body than what we have now. There's a future beyond what we have here. Lord, let hearts hear it. Let hearts receive it. Let people call upon your name and trust you during these trying times to realize and recognize, yes, Lord, this seed, though my flesh fails and though I may go through things I don't want to hear, I know that the seed can't die. The seed is going to come forth and produce the harvest that you have prepared for it. Encourage our hearts today, God. I pray you encourage us and lift us up to walk out of this place realizing that we do have resurrection power living inside of us and that our chains are forevermore gone. We thank you, Lord, for the word today. Breathe into our hearts and let it become truth in our lives that we will stand on it and walk in it every day. In Jesus' name, amen.